and we are back, and we are the Run Duo. I am Tommy.
What's up, y'all? It's India.
Hey, India. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to hear. I am wonderful. You know, hey, I'm alive. Life is good.
Yes.
I'm walking up. I'm walking upright. So life is good. It's been 2 weeks. Before we get going too much, I just want to, you know, I mean, give my condolences and just Kelvin Kiptum, the current marathon world record holder, men's world record holder, was killed along with his coach in a car accident in Kenya. Mm-hmm. When I saw it come across my phone, like it was an article that came across my phone, I was like, wait, this cannot be right. Mm-hmm. He's only 24 years old. And I mean, regardless of, you know, his achievements as a runner, it's mm-hmm. just sad when anybody, you know, mm-hmm. is taken so suddenly at such a young age.
Right. Yeah. It's very sad. I got the note or I saw somebody post about it on the way to a Super Bowl party. And I was like, this can't be true. But definitely very sad, very tragic. And yeah, like you said, obviously his age, you never want anyone so young that really mm-hmm. life was really just taken off. His career yeah. was really just taken off. I know you and I have really talked about him over the last 6 months to a year about the great things that were open for him in the running space. Because I don't know about you, but I really felt like this year he was going to break that two-hour barrier because he was right yeah. there at it. Of course, in Chicago 2023, he did 2 hours and 35 seconds. So I just really feel like he was there. So condolences to him, his team, everyone that's ever anyone that's ever been in contact with him. I mean, obviously for us, the running, my feed was flooded on Monday with nothing mm-hmm. but just people being, you know, just very saddened for it because he was definitely very well known and making a stamp in the running community, even more than he had already done. But he was on a rise, and it's just yeah. really hard to know that something tragic like that can happen. So to him, his coach, and I believe there may have been one other person in the car.
Oh, yeah.
So condolences to the families, the coaches, anyone that was connected to them, and anyone in the running community that may be disheartened by this process. I'm sure everyone is, but just anyone that's, you know, feeling very down because of this transition. And I just say, like me and my husband say, always say, I love you and give your kisses before you walk out the door, because you just really never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
You said you were heading to a Super Bowl party. Now, were you heading to a Super Bowl party or were you heading to a Usher Bowl party? Which one were you excited to see?
So,
now y'all know we both live in Atlanta. India is a straight up ATLian, so.
Yes, I'm a straight up ATLian, and I'm gonna tell y'all that I already got my Usher tickets. I didn't go to Vegas, but on Monday, I am a Verizon as well as a City Card member, where my husband is City Card member. So I was able to get them tickets the first day that they dropped. So, but I will tell you, people probably don't know this, but I do like football. I don't keep up with football. I don't keep up with football ever since the Kaepernick thing happened. I don't keep up with football. But I do enjoy football, so I actually watched the game. So I was excited about both. But yes, probably more excited for Usher. I'm so glad that they did not show Taylor Swift, but like two times. So I'm really excited about that. I was worried about that because I'm not a Swiftie. But I thought that it was an interesting game. It was kind of boring to me, honestly. Like, I felt like the game was not very exciting. Obviously it went into overtime, so that was good, but not good. But all the way up to overtime, I felt like the game was kind of boring, but halftime was great.
Okay. Of course, you know, Heather, because we had planned to go to Vegas to see, well, I wasn't going to see Usher. Heather was going to see Usher, but due to, you know, her mother, we weren't able to make it. So, of course, once she figured out that, you know, Usher was going to have a concert, her and her friends. So today they secured their tickets
for the concert. Oh, okay. So they're going in
August. Yeah. So they secured their tickets today. But as far as the Super Bowl, I mean, I'm not a huge Usher fan. He has some songs that I like, but I mean, I thought his halftime show was decent. I thought it was okay. I thought the game was good, though. It was. I follow football, so I thought the game was good. It was an exciting game. It was a defensive game. It's not a game that the catcher by fan. Yeah, most people want to see touchdown. You know, but it was a defensive game. So I thought it was. And anytime it goes into overtime in a Super Bowl, that's a pretty good game because it was two teams that were pretty evenly matched. But as far as the Usher Bowl, the Usher Bowl, I think it lived up to expectations. What did you think of his halftime show? I mean, you must have liked it because you bought tickets.
But I mean, I like Usher regardless. Like Usher, mm-hmm. I grew up on Usher. So it was like he is an artist that I think is really good. Obviously, he's been out for 30 years and, you know, all of that. So I like him aside from the fact that he was doing the Super Bowl. I thought it was really good. I thought Jermaine Dupri, as everybody else is saying, he looked cray. He looked like CeeLo Green. I ain't going to hold y'all.
They said those socks were Louis Vuitton.
Easter socks
that's what I said. Why he got these Bobby socks on? But apparently they are very expensive Louis Vuitton socks that he was wearing.
They still ugly. Just because they're designer don't mean they're cute.
Yeah, I was
$8,000. They still ugly.
I was taken aback by his outfit. I was like, come on, Jermaine.
It was really good. I thought it was good.
I was just saying, I really liked her when she came out on the guitar. I thought that was great. I liked his song selection. You know, he had me popping a little bit, you know, like, I remember that.
He was clicking through, though. I was like, dang, give me a couple more seconds on that song. He was running through. I'm like, okay, I have to wait to the concert to really get all the songs. Because I felt like he started with My Way, but it was like My Way. Then it was switch real quick. A couple seconds on the songs. But I thought it was good. I think it was a really good performance. I feel like it was one of the better performances of the Super Bowl over the years that I have watched. I definitely feel like it was a really good performance. The people that he bought out, of course, Ludacris had to represent. Her did really good. I would have loved to see more of her. I really like her. I thought that it was really good. And I don't know about you, but I heard that little crinkle in Alicia Keys' voice, child, when she started. I was like, oh, she did not warm up. I was like, what happened? And they tried to make it seem like it didn't happen. I'm like, girl, you did not warm up. Or where your lemon juice? Because you did not your tea.
I mean,
but she looked great.
Like,
the piano was beautiful, and her dress was great. People like, stop cracking on Alicia Keys. She looked amazing. I'm like, she never does not look amazing, but she did.
Yeah, she did. But you know what? I'm like, hey, it's live. You know, how many people perform live anymore? You know, it's just, you know, so. And he's singing. He's on roller skates. I mean, I had to give him. The show was pretty good. Now, I did hear there was a person on NPR this morning. I guess I didn't even know NPR had a record person, a person that, you know, critiques that sort of thing. But they were disappointed in the people that he brought out. They said that they felt like he should have brought out somebody like Beyonce or... You know,
Beyonce, I forgot the
Nicki Minaj. You know, those are the people that they were naming that he should have brought out. I'm like, dude, this is ATL. Stop.
They're not Atlanta, and let them have their time. Beyonce had her time. Nicki Minaj has had her time. I personally didn't love that. And I know the Beehive gonna come for me on this comment, and that's fine. And I love Beyonce. Of course, I've gone to three of her concerts at this point. Mm-hmm. But like, I felt like she had the Verizon commercial. And I was like, let Usher have his moment. They couldn't do this. Beyonce, you could have launched this Verizon commercial on his day. Any other time, and you would have got the same exact hype. Let Usher have his moment. Let Usher have his moment. Why Beyonce coming in here trying to swoop in? You can drop yours on a random Wednesday. They got nothing to do. You can drop it August 28th. You can randomly drop that and you would get the same hype that you would during the Super Bowl. Like, come on, girl. Let him have his time.
Well, speaking of commercials, now I know you were at a party, so I don't know how many commercials you were able to watch. Did you get to see them? Was there anyone that you really liked or you thought was really good?
I didn't focus too much on commercials. I did see Beyonce's commercial. Was it The Wiz? What movie was that?
Wicked?
Wicked, that's what I saw. Yeah. I was able to see that one. Mm-hmm. I didn't really focus too hard on the commercials. So usually I do because they're usually pretty good. But
Well, I usually do just because I know people are going to talk about them. So let me check them out. J-Lo and her husband had a good one. It's a Dunkin' Donuts commercial. And it's actually, if you can you Google it, it was good.
I'll Google it.
It had, what's her husband's name? What's J-Lo's husband's name? Ben Affleck. Know. So they had Ben Affleck. And who is Ben's boy? They both won the Oscars together. He was in there. Tom Brady was in it. It was actually really well done because it was goofy, but the way they set it up, it was really good. So check that one out. That was a good one. And Beyonce commercial was okay. With the Break the Internet, it was okay. I did see the Wicked one. I'm interested to see that movie. I probably won't go see it in the theater, but
yeah,
I'm interested to see it. Because of the young lady that's playing, the quote unquote evil witch.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. She's great. Yeah, I should have paid more attention to the commercials, but I didn't. So
yeah. Well, honestly, every time I was like, the commercial was coming on, I was going like, let me get up and go do something. And then I would see a commercial like, oh wait, let me watch.
Yeah,
this.
That was kind of me. Yeah. I was kind of like doing things or just like talking or you know whatever. Yeah. So.
Well, usually if I go to a Super Bowl party, I don't see any of the commercials just because you're doing other stuff.
It's hard to pay attention.
But anyway, that was Super Bowl weekend. So it's been a good
Super
couple
Bowl,
of weekends.
NFL,
yeah,
Super Bowl.
The NFL Super Bowl weekend, not the everybody was like Usher. But I had to give it to him because I'm not a huge Usher fan, but I do like some of his songs.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Well, we may also feel that the running Super Bowl just took place, which is the 2024 Marathon Olympic Trials took place, and that was great. Listen, I was so annoyed because we changed our internet provider, and we used to have Peacock. So I woke up, I was like, okay, I'm about to watch this. Didn't know that when we changed our provider that Peacock went away. And so I was like, what? I messaged Preston like, where is Peacock? And so I had to wait.
NBC?
I had to wait until noon. So I stayed off of social media because I was like, I don't want no spoilers. But I was able to watch it all the way through till noon. And when I say I felt like that was a really, really good race, it was really good to see the men and the women run. It was kind of sad to hear a lot of the favorites that dropped. I was a little sad about that. Like even before. Yeah. So you got your Molly Seidel, your Jared Ward, your Susan Sullivan, your Jimmy Simpson, all of them, they dropped before the race, like the week of, and that was a mix of COVID and injuries and things of that nature. And then during the race, you had your Molly Huddle, your Alephine Tuliamok, your Kiera D'Amato, your Scott Fable, your Abdi, and just several others. But honestly, y'all, it was hot. And so I just really feel like the heat was a big factor and just really being able to accommodate the heat. It was 65 degrees at start. So you all already know that
it might as well
have
been 65
degrees start.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're feeling 75, 85. So 20 degrees is usually what you heat up to. So it's really going to be really, really a hot day. But it's always good to see new faces or what we consider new faces or people that have been on the scene, but maybe not within the top 10, 20, 30, 40 to actually bring it in or even marathon debut. So I thought it was a really good run. What about you?
Yeah, it was a good run. I'm assuming the NBC broadcast was the Peacock broadcast. I'm assuming it was the same people. But did you notice they were talking about Atlanta a little bit? They were talking about how cold it was.
Yes,
In Atlanta. Yeah, they kept referencing Atlanta, and I was just like,
the
wind. Yeah, and honestly, some of that I had forgotten. I was like, oh yeah, it was windy that day. That's right, it was. But, you know, I mean, as somebody who's from that area, you know, 65 degrees, even though it's very flat, I mean, I would really love to see the actual incline of the loops because it's a very flat area that they ran in. But, and the time showed that it was definitely more conducive to running than it was in Atlanta. because it's, you know, the time show definitely faster times down in Orlando than they had here in Atlanta. But I was kind of like, what, like you said, I felt like the heat did contribute to some of the people dropping out, you know, a lot of DNFs because of the heat, because people are going out to try to win. And once they, I guess, realize, hey, it's not going to happen, they, you know, they may let it go. That's, I think some people were injuries, but I think some people where I saw some people dropped out at like mile 20, you know, you got a 10K left to go. But if you feel like, there's no way I'm, you know, I'm getting there, you know.
Like, what's the point?
Let it go.
And I think that that is one of the biggest differences with elites versus us as everyday runners. Like, for us, we like, we gonna finish this race and get our medal regardless.
Yeah, but exactly.
With them, they're like, I'm not gonna continue busting my body up for something to where it's not gonna generate what I want, whether that be prize money, a medal. Like, they don't care about no medals. They want money, you know, money, sponsorship, and like the say, or, you know, being on the podium. So they're like, I think that that's a big difference between us and them, is that they will pull out when they know it's just not their day, instead of just making it to the finish line. So,
yeah. Then, you know, let's start with the women, even though I think the men had a really good story too. The reason I want to talk about the women is because this young lady, Fiona O'Keefe, marathon debut, and she set the trials record.
Right.
So, I mean, that is, it's amazing to me how many people, first time they run a marathon, do so well. Now, of course, this ain't some woman that just got off a couch. She's, you know, she's you know, a college champion. Like, but it's just amazing to me how they do that. And sometimes I think it is because they haven't run a marathon before, they don't have that hindrance. They've never felt the pain, and they don't have that hindrance in their mind. I know, you know, both you and I have run marathons, and I guarantee both of us have, at a certain point during the marathon, we're waiting for it. We know it's coming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of, I remember my PR marathon down in Savannah, I was running with Mark. When we started out, I was like, we're going too fast. I was saying to Mark, we're going too fast. I mean, I felt good, but I just kept saying we're going too fast, because I knew eventually it was going to hit. Yeah, because I felt it before.
That's the difference. When you're in that mode, Tommy, you are not thinking in the mile you're in. And I think that is what happens when you have the experience of the marathon, and when you've had the experience of it, of bad marathons mixed with good marathons. Like, both of us have had, this was a great day. And both of us have had this day as well.
Exactly. And I think mentally, and also I think maybe because they haven't trained for multiple marathons over time, maybe they don't have that wear and tear. Maybe they don't have any injuries, you know, from training for multiple marathons over time as well, and why they come out on their debut and do so well.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like from understanding the broadcasters, when they were talking about Fiona O'Keefe, they were telling her that in her normal workouts, she was dropping 20 milers. Like, it was something. So I think her buildup, as well as her load on just regular time before she even became or decided that she wanted to really go into the marathon, she really had high mileage. So she worked on high mileage loads. And I think that that's really what helped to understand that she really is a really good marathoner, and that she would be a good marathoner. And that feeling of, you know what, I'm just going to go after it. Because I don't know about you, but her kick closer to the end, she was gone. Like, she was like, okay, I got gas in the tank. I'm out of here. So, yeah.
Yes, indeedy. So, yeah. And it wasn't one of, it was Emily Sisson that was second.
Yeah, and 22:42.
Dakota Lindworm. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, 25:31.
So, we got two Puma runners. Now, they didn't run in the same group. One was Puma Elite, and one was Puma Minnesota Distance Elite. And then a New Balance. Emily was a New Balance runner.
Yeah.
And so Emily, they did that thing.
And Emily actually in Atlanta pulled out at mile 22. And I think that that's what was interesting. And I love hearing the broadcast where they were comparing where people landed in 2022 trials versus where they landed in this trials. And mm-hmm. Emily actually dropped out at mile 22 in Atlanta, but they said that her build up was really, really good. But she was also in the field. She was expected to be one of the fastest in the marathon, or she was the top, the fastest time in the marathon out mm-hmm. of the group of American ladies. So
yeah,
really, really good to see those. And honestly, it was really good. I don't know if you got to see, but Dakota's response at the end during her interview, she was shook. She was like, I did what? Like, I think that she was just so surprised that she executed the way that she did. So it's always really good to see people, I mean, to me, just leave everything out on the table and what the results mm-hmm. are, they pay off. So congratulations to all of them. And I want to give a congratulations too, because I don't know if she's really gotten her flowers, but Sarah Hall, she came in fifth place.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, and it ended up being 2:25.06 and was fifth place at the Olympic trials. But she continues to get the Masters American record. Like, she is crushing it in the Masters area. And so I just think that that's amazing. And sometimes I feel like those flowers are not given as much just because they're not the top three or whatever.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know, I don't think many people talk about the Masters anyway, but I feel like you should. Like, when you get older and you still crushing 225, like, come on now. You're doing amazing. Dude, so
you're doing incredible.
That. And, and of course, Des Linden came in 11th at 2:28.04. Mm-hmm. So those are some of our favorites. So congratulations to everyone that did that.
And did you see the medal? The medals they got?
Yes.
I mean, not that they shouldn't be huge, but they were freaking huge.
Yeah. It was, I would definitely say it was a nice medal.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Now, on the men's side, before we get into the top three, let's just give a shout out to Nathan. Nathan.
Listen!
Nathan Martin has been on our show before. He ran here in Atlanta.
He did.
Comes in seventh, 2 hours and 11 minutes. I mean, bruh, way to go. Way to go. Way to go. And he had been putting in work.
When I say he's been putting in work, and I feel like when he was here in Atlanta, he was like a silent killer. Like, I feel like he was like creeping up. Mm-hmm. He was on broadcast. He came in seventh. That is a huge deal. Top 10 American?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Yeah. Like, I was so hyped to see him literally. Mm-hmm. Braxton was in his office doing some work, and I was in the bedroom watching, and I was screaming at him. I was like, you better go, Nathan. He was like, who's Nathan? I was like, don't worry about it. But he better go. He was like, but he's not. I was like, don't worry about it. Nathan, chocolate guy on the screen, rolling in the top 10. Yes, that is Nathan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He did a great job. Galen Rupp, you know, he came in 16th. You got to talk about him because he's won the trials 2 years. Two times, it's been over 8 years. I mean, right. It's been a minute. I mean, you know, it's hard to stay at that level for that amount of time. To go to a third Olympics would have been amazing for Galen. But unfortunately, he didn't make it. But, you know, he got out there. He did his thing.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, if anyone watched these trials, it was an interesting showdown for the race. And when I say showdown, congratulations. I want to give a kudos to Zachary Panning. He, for 18 miles, he was basically up front leading the pack, setting the pace, and he crushed it. I think he did really well for himself. Unfortunately, I kind of felt bad for the guy, Tommy, honestly, so because at the end, he ended up coming in sixth, but mm-hmm. for 18 miles, he came in at a 2:10.50, but he led the crew. He led the pack. And he looked pretty strong, but of course, you know, I won't say just the veterans, but people that really have the strategy to put the hammer down in the last 10K ish, you know, cause there's a strategy to the marathon. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to, if you're really trying to race it, if you're just trying to complete it, you know, do your thing. But if you're trying to race a marathon, being able to have that gas at that last 10K, a little bit over 10K, is what's important. But I feel like he still is owed his kudos for really doing what he needed to do, pacing the crew for those 18 miles. And then, of course, we have Connor Manns and Clayton Young that finished first and second. So, of course, Connor and then Clayton a second apart on that. And we can talk about that. And then, of course, our third person career who also came in third. So it was really good to see that. It was also good to see Clayton and Connor with their banter back and forth, because they're training partners. They're really good friends. To see them like hip to hip finishing the race was really nice to see. Now, Tommy, there has been a lot of controversy. And I want to say, I shouldn't use the word controversy, but there's been a lot of chatter amongst how they finished. So if anyone that did not watch the race, Connor and Clayton are, like I said, training buddies. But at the end, you could tell was given out of gas. He expressed it in some of his preview, in some of his interviews. He was really tired. He really wanted to, you know, he wanted to stop it. Well, he didn't want to stop. He wanted it to be over. So he was like, let's just get this done. But you can tell form was breaking down a little bit. He looked exhausted. Whereas Clayton, he's coming down the home stretch, hands in the air, cheering on a crowd. Like, you can tell that he had so much energy. And I just really, but at the end, what happened was, Clayton put out his hands and said, basically, go ahead. They were hip to hip, one and two. Go ahead, go in front of me and take the win. Of course, they finished 1 second apart, but somebody had to take first and then someone had to take second. But the conversation has been how interesting it is that you could tell that Clayton had gas in the tank, but he did not take first place. And they were saying that he was a good teammate and allowed Connor to have it. And of course, they're great friends as well. Now, I think the concern, or why this is such a controversial or a topic that continues to be made, is because there is a $15,000 difference between the prize money for first and second. So first place winner gets $80,000. Second place winner gets $65,000. Third place gets $55,000. And I can go through the list. I have 1 through 10. Congratulations to Nathan. He got a good $13,000 for his
win. There you go.
But I just really think that is why it's been a big conversation, is because there's a $15,000 that you kind of, that Clayton kind of was like, here you go. It's okay. You can have that extra $15,000. But also, I've also seen that there's a, unsure because Connor is Nike sponsor and Clayton is ASIC sponsor. So there could be some differences in the sponsorship money, because typically when runners race and they race on these big fields like the trials, Olympics, et cetera, not only are you going to get your prize money for the race, but you typically will also get some kind of check from your sponsor for racing at that level.
I was interested. Honestly, at one point when I saw him coming down, I thought they were just going to finish. They're just going to cross the line together. And then, you know, he stepped to the side. But you're right. Clayton was full of energy. I think he was trying to get an American flag from somebody on the side, because he ran off to the side. I think he was trying to grab an American flag from somebody and maybe missed, or, you know, something like that. Which was interesting because, you know, in Atlanta, you know, all the, you know, they gave them American flags as they came down, which, you know, they didn't seem like they had that set up in Orlando. But yeah, he was full of energy. And I think even at the ending, after they were done, like you said, Connor was like, dude, I was, you know, and I think even Clayton said that Connor was saying to him, like, man, I'm wearing out. I'm go ahead. And, like, telling Clayton just to go. And he wouldn't let him go. He's like, no, we're going to stay together. I'm going to pull you in. Let's go.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. Now, I do want to talk a little bit about the third place finisher, Leonard Kokuri. He came in fourth in Atlanta. He missed it by one place. Now, maybe people are confused, because I know I was when they were saying it's not an automatic. The third place male is not automatic. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into all the here, there, and why, how it's going to happen. But based on from what I can tell, it sounds like he's still going to get to go to the Olympics.
And there are some little differences between the male and female side. So the females automatically top three. The males did have those two slots unlocked due to those times that they had. But it's basically just time differences, and we'll know for sure in May if his third spot is going to go, but it does look more promising that he is going to go. So,
which I hope he does. Like I said, I mean, he was fourth last time. Now you're third and you still aren't guaranteed, but I hope he makes it.
And he was excited about it. I think it was interesting because I forgot the guy's name, but he was doing an interview and he was like, yeah, it's not guaranteed that you have it. He was like, I'm still happy. He was like, I came in third. I was fourth last time. He's like, I'm still happy. It's okay. So I think that's positive. And he snagged that 55K. So I'm sure he was excited too. Could you imagine running a race and getting that amount of money for running just your personal talent?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
It is.
Now, the gentleman that came in fourth that Leonard kind of fought with, Kibit, he's 40 years old. So he set a new record for 40 plus in 2 hours, 10 minutes and 2 seconds. Because I thought Kibit was going to win it and he just couldn't hold on. I thought he might not win it, but come in third, but he couldn't hold on. Leonard, passed him up. Both of them are servicemen. They're both in the army.
Yeah. That's amazing. And of course, I don't want to say her name wrong, but the woman that's completed fourth, that was really big for her too, to be able to complete fourth place. I think that a lot of people were explaining how personal it was amazing best for her. Yeah. Because she was unsponsored. Jessica McClain.
Yeah.
She came in fourth place, obviously not sponsored, no coach. And she's a part of a nonprofit organization. So she just, really, really doing her thing. She's 31, came in fourth with a 2:25.46. And this was definitely a personal best for her. But to be able to execute the race in that manner and come in fourth is a huge deal. Super big deal. So
yes, most definitely.
I'm sure she'll be scooped for a sponsorship very soon. Because coming in fourth. Yeah, they calling her at this point. She just trying to negotiate who she's going to be with.
But it was exciting. It's nice to have our Olympic marathon team ready to go. Up in Oregon, the track and field trials are going to be starting, I want to say, in March. Is it March or April? But up in Oregon, they're going to get that going. So we'll have our Olympic team. I'm excited for the Olympics. Paris.
I'm excited, too. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I really am. Yeah.
They're pumping Noah Lyles on the commercials.
All his commercials.
They are pumping him up.
What is happening?
That's why he is the way he is, because he knew get to know who I am, because come the Olympics, I want to be the star. I want to be the one they do all the vignettes on and, camera in my face. So as long as he goes to Oregon and does his thing, he's going to have a very good time in summer in Paris.
Yeah. I'm like, all these commercials that he has, I'm like, they are doing a lot. It is hilarious. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I know that you and I, we don't recap a lot of track here because we are road people. But of course, when the Olympics come, we'll be chatting about it, talking about it, and getting some people on here, hopefully doing some amazing things. So
Exactly.
Looking forward to it. Boston's coming. Tokyo's coming. London's coming. Looking forward to that and everything that comes with it. So
yes, indeedy. Now, since COVID, do you think we are racing more, racing less, as a group, as a community of runners? Do you think you're seeing more people running, same amount?
I think it has lessened a little bit. I think people are more realistic with their racing, meaning I feel like pre-COVID people was racing every single weekend. And I think there's two buckets. I feel like there's people that were racing every single weekend and they have realized, okay, maybe I don't need to be racing every weekend, but I'm gonna still race a little bit. And then I think that there are the influx come from new runners, people that were not runners prior to COVID. And I think that has still been an influx, and I feel like we've seen that a little bit more. But I think our season runners, pre-pandemic season runners, probably don't race as much.
Yeah, I think you're right with the new runners. I think, probably because of COVID, a lot of people became runners. They could go to gym, so they, that was their thing to go out and run. Strava, every year, they have their end of the year where they kind of do their data dump on what they collect from all the members. And they stated that racing is on the rise. Racing is up in comparison to pre-COVID, But I think exactly like you said, I think it's a lot of new runners out there that we've picked up over time. I don't think, you know, and now, of course, if you look at our timeline, these are a lot of, all of our runners are people that have, we've looked at in the Atlanta running community for years and years and years. And of course, you know, we're going to age. We're going to stop running. Things are going to change in our lives.
Life happens.
So, yeah. So our timeline probably has changed, but I'm guessing there's probably somebody with, you know, with a different timeline that, you know, they got people, you know, because I will say this, there's races every weekend. It is back to, you know, races every weekend. There's races, multiple races in different places. Like it was before where you're choosing, you know, okay, where do I want to run this weekend? So it's definitely lots of opportunity. So, and these, and trust me, race directors aren't doing this for free. There must be people signing up if they're, you know, putting these races on.
For sure. For sure. That is definitely happening. Speaking of races, I'll give y'all a little, we had somebody message us saying that India has alluded to what races she's going to be announcing. So I'll go ahead and let you guys know. So this weekend I'll be emceeing the Galentine's Day 5K that's put on by Horizon Race Series. That takes place in Piedmont Park. And then next weekend is the big weekend in Atlanta for Publix. That is the marathon, half marathon, 5K, and of course, kids run with Atlanta Track Club. And I'll actually be emceeing at the expo. So I am excited to be emceeing on the stage at the expo for Publix. And then on March 9th, I will be at in West Georgia, in Carrollton, Georgia, for the West Georgia Track Club 5K, 10K. And then on March 16th, I'll be doing the St. Paddy's Day race here in Atlanta. And then on April 20th, I'll be doing the Marietta Roswell Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority for the Ready to Run 5K. I'll be doing MCing for that. So I have a loaded first quarter of races that I'll be doing. I'm looking forward to it. Those are my current races that I have on the schedule. I have some later on in the year, but for the next couple months, that's where you can see me.
Cool, cool. We'll be out there at Publix for Trey. I'm not sure if I think Jasmine's not doing the dash yet, but I think Heather's trying to, she hadn't decided which run she's doing, so I don't know. If she's doing the 5K or she's trying to do the half. I didn't know it was that close. Okay.
Yes, next weekend. But
I know. I didn't realize that. And, you know, let Heather know about that Delta run. She might want to go out there and show her colors.
Yeah, she may want to. And for those that are listening, you do not, I'm not a part of the sorority, but I definitely have friends that are a part of it. Of course, Heather is, but you do not have to be a part of the sorority or a part of the Bi-9 or anything to run that race. But it's a good race that's taking place out here in the Smyrna Marietta area. So definitely sign up. Registration is still open.
Great, great. Now, India, if they want to hit you up to, you know, if they got their own race, they got a backyard race, they want you to come MC, how would they get in touch with you?
Yes. Well, if you have a MCing inquiry or a race announcing inquiry, hit me up at contact@milesfromindia.com. That is my business email. You can find me on my website as well at milesfromindia.com. And if you're wanting to just chat it up, hit me up in DMs at I'm at Eye of Indigo Runs on Instagram.
And you can get me at TMitch68 on Instagram and Thomas W. Mitchell, the number 2, at Gmail. All right, India, it was great speaking with you again.
We'll see you in a couple weeks.
See you later.